Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Let's turn to a verse we were looking at the end of our study last week. It's Romans. It's in the New Testament. Help someone beside you who may need a little help now. Romans chapter 15, and it's the verse 4. We left off referring to this verse, for it gives us reasons why it's proper for us to study the history of good men and good women and good boys and girls given us in the Bible. Are we looking then at the verse? I read it to you. For whatsoever things, whatsoever, that's a word that means whatever you find in the Bible. Whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. So then, here's why God gave you the Bible. Here's why God gave you the Bible. And studying it, and as I've said, the histories of good men, good women, and you do have mention made of good young people. Samuel, for instance, was only a boy when we first read about him, and he was a lad whose life, whose actions, we should certainly learn from. David was only a boy as well when we first read about him. He was only a teenager, and we certainly can learn from him. But then, too, we have young ladies mentioned in the Bible, and there's one in particular who has become the subject of many sermons and has been greatly admired by God's people ever since her story first appeared. I can't tell you her name because the Lord didn't give us her name. And in a sense, her name isn't important. It's her actions. And I'm referring to the little maid of 2 Kings chapter 5. You remember the little maid that was carried away captive into the land of Syria? And when she was there, she spoke about the Lord. She didn't forget the Lord. She had many, many reasons to be grieved and sorrowful and frightened. She'd been taken away, a slave, away from her family, her mother and father, likely her brothers and sisters, her friend, the whole village. She was taken away, and she was put to work. But she didn't forget the Lord. Whatever distresses she went through, she remained one who looked to the Lord and thought about the Lord and remembered her duty. For she witnessed to the Lord's wonderful power through his prophet, Elisha, to the head of the house that she was now a slave in, Naaman, the great Syrian general who was a leper. Young lassie wasn't bitter. She didn't look on his leprosy and say, good, I'm glad he's a leper, and I hope he dies soon. She didn't say that. Instead, she spoke about the deliverance from leprosy that the Lord was able to provide. That's what she spoke about. And we know, as the story progressed, how that Naaman actually did get deliverance from his leprosy, and more than that, he became, we believe, a follower of the Lord, a believer in the Lord. That's the story of Naaman, and it's all because of a little maid. And God has written her story up for you to study, think about, and learn from. That's the purpose of the Bible, then. And so, when we're embarking on a study here on a Friday morning on the bright and shining lights in the Bible, that's what we're calling our study, we're doing that which God has intended us to do. He wants us to study the Bible. He wants us to look at the lives of the men and the women recorded in the Scriptures. Now, there are three things I believe are suggested in this verse that we will find, we will enjoy as we study the Bible. The first one is this: for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning. Learning. The first thing you will obtain as you read the Bible is a learning. That's what will happen when you read the Bible. Now this word learning simply means teaching or learning. The Bible will teach you. The Bible will teach you. Most wonderfully, it will teach you. And the Bible is the only book in all the world from which you will learn only that which is good. I'll repeat that. The Bible is the only book that will impart learning to those who read it. That is only, underline that word, good. There's not another book in the world written by men, no matter how good those men were, but there are mistakes in it. There are mistakes in it. The greatest of men have, in their lives, done things that weren't just right, have taught in their teachings things that weren't just right. Now, I have to say that they didn't deliberately set out to teach wrong things. It's just they formed wrong opinions. They came to wrong conclusions. And consequently, there are these wee black marks, as it were, in their writings. I know that when I started out as a student, many, many times men would have said to me, now there's a good book to read with regards the subject you're studying. That's a good book. He's a good man. But just watch out for. And then they'd mention some wee matter, some wee point that that good man, that great man, went astray on. And that's just true. Of every good man, every good woman, there's blemishes. There's none of us without sin. Only the Bible will teach you that which is correct in all matters. Because it's God's book. It's written by God. The pen men, well, they were men that we know about. Like David, like Moses, and all the others right up into the New Testament. Peter, John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, Paul. Those were the pen men who wrote. But just like when you're writing, the pen or the pencil is leaving the mark, but it's leaving the mark that you are making it leave. It does the marking, but you're doing the directing of the pen. Some of you can do it very well, and others it looks like a spider has fallen into an inkwell and is scrambling about all over the page. And when the teacher comes and they look at it and they say, oh, that's his writing, or that's her writing. They know right away whose scribble it is. Well, in the same fashion, in the Bible, you have Paul's writing. And you can tell Paul's language and how he puts down words. But as Paul was putting down those words, God's hand was on him, guiding him, so that he was moved by the Holy Ghost, moved by God to write what he did. And even though they were Paul's words, they were breathed into him and caused by God that he should write those words. And consequently, they're correct. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. It is profitable. The opposite of profit is loss. Is loss. And there's no loss in the Bible. It's all profit. It's all good. It's all to our advantage. And there's no man or woman or boy or girl who has ever come to the Bible and gone away with that which is bad. Now, that's not to say that people haven't come to the Bible, read what it's there, and either twisted what it says, put upon the words their own meaning, which very obviously God didn't mean. And they have gone out saying, this is what the Bible says. And it's not what the Bible says. It's what they are trying to tell others the Bible says. And the world is filled with people who say, oh, I believe the Bible, and here's what I believe the Bible says. And what they're spouting is wrong. They're putting their own notions on the Bible. It's like you talking with a friend, and the friend tells you, tomorrow I'm going to so-and-so's birthday party. And you, off you go and see someone else, and you say, I was just talking to my friend, and they said that today they're going to so-and-so's birthday party. Well, that's not what they said. They said they were going tomorrow. But you have made a mistake. you picked them up wrong. Or maybe you've been very bad and naughty and deliberately telling something that's not true. Well, people do that with the Bible. They say, oh, I have read in the Bible that such and such and such and such is what God says. And that's not what God says. For instance, many, many years ago, in fact, I was just talking about this the other day, to a journalist who came to my home to talk to me. When in jail in 1966, I met a young lad who was a Republican. He was in jail on explosive charges. He had been caught by the police in possession of explosives, dynamite, something like that. And he was now in jail for that, for it was a crime. And he happened to be in the same workshop to which I had been appointed when I came into jail, because they want you to work and do something useful. And I had the opportunity to talk with this young fellow. He was a Roman Catholic. And during our discussions, of course, they were always about the Bible and that which sprang from the Bible. And he told me on one occasion, oh, Paul said, it is a good and wholesome thing to pray for the dead. Now, I knew Paul hadn't said that. But I didn't just immediately come out and say, no, you're wrong. That might not have been the best way just to handle the matter. So instead I said, are you sure? You know, I thought I had read the New Testament pretty closely. And I can't remember reading where Paul said that it's a good and wholesome thing to pray for the dead. I can't remember reading that. Where is that? And he said, well, I don't know. I said, well, I'll tell you what, go to your priest, because he used to go twice a week to confessions. He was let out of the workshop to go and see the priest and confess his sins, as Roman Catholics do. And I said, the next time you see your priest, ask him where it is in the Bible. And he came back from the confession and he stayed away from me. And back then, when you were in prison, you couldn't just walk about the workshop. You had to stay by your bench. You weren't allowed to walk about and go where you like. So I didn't get a chance to go and say to him, well, what did the priest say? I had to wait until we were being lined up at the end of the day and march back to our cells. And I was able on that occasion to shuffle in beside him, and you weren't even allowed to talk, really. Whisper to him, the priest told you to stay away from me, didn't he? And he never answered. But then he came back the next day, and it may have been the day after that, but finally he relented and he said, yes, you're right. The priest told me not to talk any more to you. And I said, that's because the priest couldn't tell you where Paul is supposed to have said that it's a good and a wholesome thing to pray for the dead, because Paul never said that. And so you see, there are those who would come along and take the Bible and pretend that it says such and such a thing and teach that very thing in error. But, boys and girls, if we come to the Bible and believe simply what it says, we will only benefit from it. There is never a person who, having studied the Bible, read the Bible, and believed the Bible, came to harm as a result of doing that. Now, the world is filled with people who say, you know, religion's a bad thing, and those who read the Bible, they turn out to be real head cases and nut cases and full of stupid ideas. They're saying that all the time. You can take up the newspapers, those that are printed here in Northern Ireland, look at the letters column, and the chances are, virtually every day you'll find a letter there mocking those who believe the Bible and saying their head is full of nonsense as a result of reading the Bible. But they're wrong. No one ever suffered ill as a result of reading and believing the Bible. They only benefited. When you read the Bible, boys and girls, you're being taught by God. When you read the Bible, it's like you sitting down in any one of the classrooms, as you will in a few minutes, and the teacher will open a textbook and begin to teach you. And that's what happens when you open the Bible. God begins to teach you. So when you're reading the Bible, you're listening to God. And if you listen obediently, submissively, believingly, you will be taught. You will be taught, and you will greatly benefit. Just when you go home and you sit down and your mum has prepared the tea, if you begin to eat what mum has prepared, you're going to benefit. You're going to benefit. You're going to enjoy what she has made. It will taste nice. And although you might notice it, it will begin to work in you. And it will impart to you strength and energy. Life. That's what it does. That's what food does. Maybe some of you have fires in your home. Not just central heating, but an actual fire. And you burn logs. Maybe you'd like sometimes to be allowed to throw a log on the fire. And when you do, if you're allowed, put the log on the fire. Soon the log is catching light and burning, and it's producing heat. And that's what happens when you put a sandwich into your mouth, or a potato, or whatever it is you're eating. It's like that log on the fire. It puts fuel into you and keeps you alight, keeps you living. And when you read the Bible, God is teaching you. God is teaching you. You're taking in that which will have an impact upon your heart, upon your mind, upon your life. Upon your life. Now, it's almost time for me to stop. Almost time. And I haven't really got to expanding and expounding this first point. We're going to firstly learn. Well, what is it we're going to learn? Well, I'll start with this and then we'll come back to it next week. You're going to learn from the Bible the way to heaven. And boy, is that a vital lesson. Now, there are many books in the world, boys and girls, that claim to teach people the way to heaven, but they're pointing a false way. As the scripture says, that there are those who believe and claim that this is the path of life, but it doesn't lead to life. Rather, the end thereof are the ways of death. It may seem right unto man. It may seem the correct way, but the end is the way of death. It's not the way taught in the Bible. The Bible teaches us the way to heaven. Just turn over, and we'll end our study here. Just turn over a few pages to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy. Probably more than a few pages. Turn on over, and we come to 2 Timothy chapter 3. Just let me have you notice that this is another of those Bible references that has the numbers 3 and 15 or 16. This is 2 Timothy chapter 3, and it's the verse 15, and when you read the verse 16, it's closely linked to it, and it's a very important verse. And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. You see that? Teachers find it very difficult sometime to teach wee boys and girls. Really? I have a wee granddaughter who has a wee dog, and it's a very nice wee dog. And when she visits, the dog comes too, and very many times you'll hear her say, "Sit! Sit! Sit!" And the dog is jumping 6 foot into the air, running around, prancing around, and not paying the slightest bit of heed to her. He hasn't learned. Sometimes Granda then growls, "Sit down!" And the dog does slow up, but he doesn't do it when my little granddaughter says it. Now, the Bible speaks, boys and girls, and you learn. You learn. You've learned something today. You mightn't realize it, but God has made an impression on your heart. Just as you would press on your skin and hold it there for a second and then lift your finger, whoo, there's a little impression. It'll fade and disappear, of course, but God has made an impression on your mind, and I hope it doesn't disappear. I hope you take note of it and care for it. The scripture is able to make you wise unto salvation. No other book in the world can do that, boys and girls. That's why that book there is so precious. That's why that book there must never be handled like any other book, carelessly thrown about. No, No, reverence that book, for it can take you where no other book can take you. It can take you to heaven. So when we study the scriptures, we learn. And the first thing we learn is how to get to heaven. Oh, I hope you've learned that lesson, that it's through faith in Jesus Christ. I hope you've come to faith in Christ. Let's bow in prayer. Oh God, be pleased to write your word on the hearts of the boys and girls and make an impression, Lord, that will not fade, but will abide with them forever. We thank thee for this blessed book. May we ever reverence it, love it, and believe it. For Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen.